that's a, if I forget the mercy seat, that's a real, that's the heart of our salvation, is what it's all about. That, and that's the foundation that of our holiness, our godliness, our religion, if you want to put it that way, is remembering the mercy seat. And if we forget that, all the rest of it is in vain. I mean, if our desire is for anything other than remembering that who God is, and the one song we sang is to, oh, to be like Him. I mean, the heart of it is right there, that we've tasted that forgiveness and that mercy seat. We've been there. And when we build on that, the obedience to the Lord and what He directs us is all got a good foundation. So praise the Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before You this morning and we thank You, God, for that precious mercy seat, Father. That place where we can meet You, Father, and be at one with You, Lord. High and holy as You are, Father, and we're welcome there, Lord, and we just thank You for that. Help us, Lord, to remember that, Father. Lord, it's as important as our heart beating, as the song brings out. Again, we just thank You, Lord, that we ask that You would bless us this morning, that You'd fill us with Your Spirit, that You'd give us wisdom, Father, as we open Your Word, Lord. God, we just thank You again for all that You do for us. Help us be faithful in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right. I'm going to start in Matthew chapter 7. We're going to begin in verse 13, then we'll move over here just a little bit to Mark, but we'll start here. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13, it says, "Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it. For the gate is small, and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it." You know, we can look at the world and the vastness of humanity and the relatively small amount of people who call themselves Christians, and we can look at that verse and we can say, well, because I'm a Christian, you know, the way's straight and narrow, and you know, the whole world is on the path of destruction. So we can kind of, you know, we can see that comparison there, that this is a straight and narrow way, and that way out there is a wide, wicked world way. But when we listen to what Jesus is saying and who He's saying it to, He is already saying it to the religious people, the Christians, as it were. He was talking to the Jews at the time, the Jewish people. And basically we see what happened, you know, that there were very few that actually believed Him of those people that were in that circle that was already a small amount compared to what the world was. So He's not talking about that. He's talking about people who know the right way, have the right way in front of them. And He's saying the way is straight and narrow. Few there be that find it. You know, we want to take comfort in looking at how bad the world is sometimes. Boy, I'm glad I'm on the straight and narrow way, and I fit into that little straight and narrow pocket there. But He's talking to those people inside that pocket. You know, it's easy for us to get distracted or get comfortable in where we're at. But the way is straight and narrow. And it doesn't, you know, it means there's a path, there's a way, but it's reduced from what we, the idea we have of it. Verse 15 says, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves." Then said, verse 16, it says, "You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from bushes, thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they?" Of course, the question there is, of course not. Grapes grow from a grapevine. Just because there's a bush doesn't mean it's going to produce grapes. Just because there's a vine doesn't mean it's going to produce grapes. And that's what he's comparing this to. I mean, there's a lot of vines out there. But until that vine has grapes on it, it's just a vine. And so often people, so often we, just kind of lump all that together. And if it's a vine, well, boy, that's just acceptable. That must be a grape. And kind of what I want to think about, my thought is this morning, you know, we talked about last week we talked about, you know, an honest person sees people as honest people. There's not that suspicion or doubt. You know, we see people by what's in our heart. And so if we have a crooked heart, we think everybody's crooked. And if we have a deceitful heart, we think everybody's out to deceive us. And what I want to talk about a difference this morning is having an honest heart, but having discernment to see that, yes, not everyone is honest, even though we see people. You know, we take people at their word. Whenever we're an honest person, we want to take people at their word. There's a difference between seeing honest people, seeing people at their word, taking people at their word because we've got an honest heart, and discernment to know the difference between there are deceitful people out there. And there are people that, even though that's not in my heart, to be suspicious of everyone and be afraid that everyone's out to deceive me, but to be able to recognize that we want to take people at their word, but yet have discernment enough to know that sometimes people aren't always honest. And that's what I'm talking about by the fruit. And I think that's what Jesus is talking about. We'll know them by their fruit. You know, we want to have a broad tent, as it were, you know, as far as the church is concerned, you know, to accept other groups. And we don't want to just condemn other groups because we don't understand where they're at, but yet we don't want to be completely ignorant because we just want to be so full of love. You know, there are things that are deceitful. And there are, like Jesus said, beware. There's false prophets who come to us wearing sheep's clothing. So you will know them by their fruits. So that every good tree bears good fruit and the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor a bad tree produce good fruit. And it says every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then you will know them by their fruits. You know, whenever we see fruit, it's someone that's undiscerning, they find, you know, a group a lot of times that has the right doctrine. And their whole focus is on being on this group, with this group, because they have the right doctrine. And it may be 6 months or a year later, and they begin to realize that this place is as cold as ice. And this is what it's talking about here. There's fruit. What are fruit? It's love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. That's fruit. Does that mean that the people, you know, they never make mistakes? No. But the fruit is what happens after the mistake. You know, someone that's honest with themselves and don't take themselves so seriously can make a mistake and get up and dust themselves off and go again. Make their apologies, fix what needs to be fixed, and go again. That's a fruit. That's part of fruit. That long-suffering, that persistence. You know, one of the things that Jesus talks about, he that is faithful to the end shall be saved. You know, a lot of us are pretty good at starting projects, but we leave a lot of them and never finish them. You know, one of the things that you boys, you know, you talked about learning things. Learn how to finish a project. You know, it's fine to go do a lot of things, but it's getting over that finish line. You know, the tortoise and the hare, you know, the race. The rabbit jumped out there and he ran and got way ahead, but he didn't finish. And the slow old turtle just kept plodding along. And he crossed the finish line. He won the race. And, you know, it's easy for us to get all these things going. But we need to learn to practice how to finish. And finish means when you're done, you pick your tools up, you put them back where they belong. I mean, that's not going to get you to heaven just because you do that. But what it is, it's training us to do things until they're done. You know, if we start out and we treat our road to heaven like we do everything else in our life, we might wind up on our eternity, our eternal road, doing the same way we do in everyday life. You know, but if, because it's all walks hand in hand together. You know, we see people that come out in religion and they're all excited and they're going for it, you know, but then after a while the new wears off and they go on to another project. So our way of life is going to be translated into how we do things eternity. One of the, you know, the little boys, you know, how I respond to my parents is how I'm going to learn how to listen to God. You know, and it goes through. All life goes through that way. So these are just good characteristics we want to learn to apply to our lives when you're young there. And that's fruit. Getting through, getting finished. That endurance is a fruit. Now let's turn to Mark chapter 7. We'll begin in verse 5 here. And it's all, keep in mind, you'll know them by their fruit. You know, we have religion. And it may look really good. It may look like it's a sheep. But eventually, the sheep gets fangs and claws and it doesn't look too pretty. As we read this, Matthew 5, it says, "The Pharisees and the scribes asked him, 'Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat their bread with impure hands?'" You know, it's easy for us to read this and think about them old, wicked, evil Pharisees. The scribes and the Pharisees, those guys were awful. You know, the problem with fruit and human things is they weren't just for back there at that time. We read this today, and if we read it like God wants us to see it, the same kinds of people are still here today. We like to categorize it and think, them wicked old Pharisees, them old cruel Pharisees that crucified Jesus, you know, they were just awful. But you know, that spirit that they had is as alive and well today as it was back then. We just think we're a little above that, and that's what that straight and narrow, where that comes in. You know, it's easy for us to look at them. But if we had looked at that, and you Christians, you know, you plain people, you people that are trying to follow Jesus, you know, how many times could we fit this place where it says, you know, we could come up and we could look, why do your disciples do not keep this or keep that? You know, we can look at that in the plain circles, and it's just the same old thing. You know, we may think that, you know, because we're, you know, Christians, that we're, that's different. Those were Pharisees. We're not Pharisees. We're Christians. But the fruit, that same spirit, the same thing it's produced back then is being produced today. And it's still a few people on that straight and narrow way that have the Spirit of Christ, that their desire is, oh, to be like Him. Not, well, I'm perfect, but to have the same Spirit that He had. And He said to them, rightly did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written. See, he's going back 400 years to where Isaiah was being a prophet, maybe more than that, 500 or 600 years. And he said, rightly did Isaiah say, the same kind of people were back then as there is right now. And we can just take that same thing right on to today. But Jesus was trying to bring out that Isaiah talked about you people back then. He says, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. You know, there, it's easy to praise God, to thank God, and to do all that. We can be as religious as all get out, just like these people were, and say all the right things, but our hearts be far from Him. And when it talks about a heart being far from Him, it's a heart that's not like Him. You know, we have times where we maybe not feel as good, you know, or as feel as close to the Lord. But when it comes right down to it, is our heart like Him? We don't always feel the right way. We don't always feel close to God. But is our heart like Him? And that's the goal. That one of the songs we sing, talked about being like Him. Oh, to be like Him. But there was a thought, I lost it now. But it was, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Well, I thought I wrote down my note here. Thank you. whenever we have that spirit of the Pharisees and not the Spirit of God, that forgiveness, that mercy, those things that are like Christ is our goal. That's we're trying to be like Him. But in vain they do worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men. It's so easy for us to get these things that are approved by men, these concepts that are approved by men, to get them in the place of God. And then it says, verse 8, it says, neglecting the commandment of God, you hold on to the traditions of men. And he also saying to them, you are experts at setting aside the commandments of God in order to keep your tradition. For Moses said, honor your father and mother, and he who speaks evil of father or mother is to be put to death. But you say, if a man says to his father or mother, whatever I have that I would help you with is Corban, that is to say, given to God, you no longer permit him to do anything for his father or mother, thus invalidating the word of God by your tradition, which you have handed down, and you do many things such as that. You know, just recently heard of people that were excommunicated because they had a disagreement. There was something wrong and they were excommunicated. And their children have taken that excommunication and decided they're not even going to support their parents anymore. Not even going to help their parents anymore. It sounds holy, supporting the church. It sounds real good. But in reality is, they're choosing to dishonor their parents and give it to God, their honor, or give it to the church, or give it to someone else. Is that not the same thing? You know, how many times have people, these churches, maybe the parents get excommunicated, so the children stand with the church, or the wife stands with the church and won't eat with their husband, or eat with their, or won't give him the honor that's due him. Still, he's still the father of the home. He's still your father. He's still your husband. And yet, you give your honor to God. You know, it's so easy for us to see something. You know, we talk with a covering. How many times have we seen a woman see the Bible says to wear a covering? And so she wants to start wearing a covering, and her husband says, no, I don't want you to. And so she decides, I'm going to obey God, not man. Setting aside that her first, the whole purpose of the covering is showing that she's in submission to her husband. You know, we wouldn't dare say, I'm not going to give money to my parents. I'm going to give it to the church instead. We call it Corban. But that honor that God has directed that children give to their parents or wives give to their husbands is the same thing as your money. Isn't it more valuable than your money? The same thing happens today. It's just got a different name to it. It's just got a sheep's clothing to it. You'll know them by their fruit. You know, like I said, how easily we are deceived because someone comes along and changes the name or changes the thing, whatever it is. But if you just step back and look at it just a little bit, it's still the same old thing. You know, that, I remembered what I was thinking a while ago, that song that at the end of it says that they were going to guard us from those who would destroy our souls. To guard us from those who would destroy our souls. You know, and here again, whenever we think of sin, we think of somebody out there doing a bad thing. God protect me from that old drunkard, that I don't become a drunkard and he destroy my soul. God protect me from those people that are homosexuals, lest I become a homosexual and he destroys my soul. You know, we've got this concept of sin as it's those black things and everything over here is good, no matter how black our hearts are. But the things that are going to destroy our souls are those that are coming like sheep's clothing. You know, there's not much chance of us just, okay, I'm going to be a drunk now. And all of a sudden just being a drunk or a drug addict. But you know, someone coming with something religious that sounds real good, looks real good, that's what's going to destroy our souls. It's the evil. You know, and even in the world, just look at the world. You know, you see people that are out running around in bars or doing things wrong. You know, they're not helping themselves. They've got chains. They've got problems. But they're not necessarily out destroying people's souls. I mean, there's honor among them, even among themselves, a lot of times. Then you look at people killing babies. You know, they may be a government official, but they're promoting these things that are actually trying to destroy people. And it's evil. Far more evil than just people out trying to have a good time, maybe. And I'm not promoting that at all. But a lot of times we'll have them as the evil people and just overlook a lot of the things that are actually evil. Having the discernment to know good and evil. Having the discernment. And like I said, they're bad. A lot of the things that are going on are bad. But it's people. And then when you bring it into the church, you know, there's churches that just allow anything. And they're bad. And then there's churches that, you know, they're really, really strict. But when you look at how they're doing, they're trying to actually to destroy people. Which is good and which is evil? Maybe neither one of them are that great. But when you're destroying someone that's trying, a child, you know, Jesus said about the people that it would be better for someone to tie a chain around your neck, tie it to a big old millstone, and throw it into the sea than to offend one of the little ones. And how many times? What's the goal of these powerful men in churches that are banning people, that are doing things to people? It's in reality abortion to disciples. and it all looks real good. You know, whenever we find someone that's trying to follow the Lord and they get tangled up in all of this, and they wind up giving up, it's not just a bad thing. It's an evil thing. You'll know them by their fruits. Jesus wasn't talking to people out in the world when he was saying these things. He was talking to people in the church. This book is not a letter to the world. This book is a letter to the church. It wasn't just a book to the Jews. It was a book about human nature, humanity. It was a book about the kingdom of God versus the kingdom of the world. And the kingdom of the world comes in as a sheep, saying all the right things. And you see it in politics. Saying all the right things. And someone questions it, and he's the bad one because he even questions it. And all the focus is on him. He's the bad one. And the undiscerning start yelling, he's the bad one, and now he's a monster. And they go follow the real evil one wherever he leads them. May God give us discernment. May God give us his wisdom in these difficult times. You'll know them by their fruit. God have his blessings. Anyone have anything they'd like to share? That's why politics look the same as religion. It's all that same spirit. There's two spirits in the world, no matter what element you're into.
I was just thinking also, like, I know a lot of people that would, you know, from the, like, Plains group, if they were looking at this person, they would think they were just horrible. You know, maybe they got their third wife, they smoked, they drank. They do drugs, but they would never think of turning their back on the parents, no matter what they did, you know? And it's just like, but you got the Plains group who, like you said, they'll excommunicate somebody and not have anything to do with them for something as little as disagreeing with, you know, a church rule or something. Mm-hmm. And you're just like, wow, like, it's just, you know. A lot of gray areas, it's kind of hard to discern all that, especially from, you know, coming from some of the worlds I come from, you know? Mm-hmm. Think this is inherently bad, but, and I'm not promoting it by any means, but then you come in here and you're like, well, hold on, these people aren't exactly, you know, doing exactly right either, you know?
Amen. All right, well, Lord willing, we'll meet back here at 6:00. God bless you all. Peace.